Today is Friday, May 29th, 2026. This is your FinTech briefing for Solopreneur. In the next 8 to 9 minutes, we'll cover the permanent reset in cost of capital that's quietly breaking FinTech product economics, how Jeeves turned stablecoin rails into 10 times revenue growth, and what the new Fed chair means for your warehouse facility and your fundraise timeline. Here's the number that should stop you cold. The 30-year Treasury just auctioned above 5% for the first time since 2007. Lance Roberts, using the Irving Fisher equation, basically nominal rates equal real GDP growth plus inflation, derives a fair value 10-year yield of around 5%. George Galves, head of U.S. macro strategy at MUFG Securities, independently reaches the same conclusion through a different framework, calling this a structural re-establishment of a higher base. The 40-year bond bull market is confirmed broken. The 10-year sits above 4.5%, the 2-year above 4%, and the anomalous 0.5% 10-year yield of 2020, the baseline that most BNPL discount rates, warehouse facilities, and yield-bearing account benchmarks were calibrated against, is structurally gone. This is not a stress scenario. This is the new floor. So why does that matter to you right now? Because every product you built on cheap capital is operating with a broken cost model, and you may not know it yet. Your warehouse facility spread, your embedded lending APR, your earned wage access discount. If those numbers were anchored to a sub 2% risk-free rate, the unit economics are off, not a little off, structurally off. And here's where it gets worse. Peter Buchvar, CIO at 1BFG Wealth Partners, a $16 billion AUM shop, reported this week that Q1 GDP was revised down to 1.6% from 2%. Real consumer spending in April came in up just 0.1%, which is essentially a stall. PCE inflation printed at 3.8% year-over-year, roughly 200 basis points above the Fed's 2% target. Real disposable personal income fell for the third consecutive month. The personal savings rate dropped to 2.6%, the lowest since 2022. What that combination produces is stagflationary credit stress. You are paying more for capital at the exact moment your lower-income customers are becoming worse credit risks. That's not a macro concern to monitor. That's an immediate P&L threat. Now let's talk about the K-shaped problem hiding inside your credit models. Darius Dale of 42 Macro laid out a structural data point this week that should force a model audit at most consumer fintech companies. U.S. household cash balances are approximately $11.5 trillion, up roughly $8 trillion since pre-pandemic levels, which is roughly 3 times the prior baseline. Sounds healthy, right? Here's the problem. The top 10% of U.S. consumers by income now account for approximately 50% of all consumer spending, up from roughly 35% in the early 1990s. That means aggregate consumer spending indices, the inputs most credit default models are calibrated on, are dominated by top decile behavior. Your model is reading a wealthy consumer spending pattern and projecting it onto a BNPL borrower or an earned wage access user. That's a systematic underestimation of deterioration in the bottom 60 to 80% income cohort, which is precisely the segment most fintech lenders serve. Buchvar added a concrete data point. Walmart's CEO noted that at $4.50 per gallon of gasoline, the current AAA national average, the average customer is purchasing less than 10 gallons per fill-up for the first time since 2022. That is marginal demand destruction, happening in real time for the exact consumer your product touches. Before your next model refresh, audit your training data for K-shaped bias. Okay, let's shift to what's actually working. Jeeves, a global business banking platform, disclosed on an A16Z podcast that its revenue has grown 10 times and transaction volume 8 times. Both numbers are directly attributed to integrating stablecoin payment rails. The GTM logic here is worth unpacking. In markets like Argentina, 60% of the population has already adopted stablecoins. That's not a feature Jeeves is convincing anyone to try. It's infrastructure that meets real, existing behavior. Jeeves roots through that demand. The GTM inversion is equally interesting. Most fintechs start with SMBs and work up market. Jeeves did the opposite, targeted enterprise clients from day one. That's a deliberate unit economics decision. Enterprise deals demand hardened KYB pipelines, multi-entity ledger structures, and serious due diligence workflows from the jump, but they produce correspondingly higher lifetime value. If you're building cross-border B2B infrastructure, this is a viable playbook. The cost structure is front-loaded, the returns are more defensible. Building on that, the most practically useful disclosure from Jeeves is their AI underwriting architecture. They run a 4-person underwriting team doing work that would require roughly 15 people without AI assistance. That's nearly a 4-to-1 efficiency ratio on one of the most expensive cost centers in any lending or credit product. If you're underwriting at any volume, that benchmark should inform your next hiring decision. One important flag, though, AI-assisted underwriting across multiple jurisdictions creates significant compliance surface area. EU AI Act audit obligations, US ECOA adverse action notice requirements, AML and KYB rules per market. These aren't post-Series A problems. Build your model audit trail from day one. Input features, model version, decision output, timestamp. Document it before your first regulatory exam, not after. Now let's talk about the private credit default cascade, because this one hits warehouse-funded fintechs directly. Bookvar cited Fitch data this week showing private credit default rates hitting 6%, the highest in Fitch's dataset, which began tracking in 2024. Sector concentration is in industrials, manufacturers, consumer products, and healthcare. Retail capital inflows into private credit have balanced out between new money and redemptions, meaning the market is becoming more selective in deploying capital. Less availability, higher cost, tighter covenants. The transmission mechanism Galves identifies is precise. Loans originated at low rates are now resetting at high rates into a weaker economy, producing defaults. Holders of private credit who need liquidity sell public market bonds first, what they can sell, which widens spreads in public credit as a secondary effect. This is a slow bleed, not a sudden freeze like 2008. But the direction is observable right now. If you have a warehouse facility maturing in the next 12 to 18 months, model the renegotiation against materially higher spreads and tighter covenant structures. Build headroom today while you still have leverage. Finally, the Fed. Kevin Warsh was sworn in as Fed chair on May 22, 2026. Within 48 hours, six Fed governors, Waller, Barr, Lisa Cook, Philip Jefferson, Neil Kashkari, and Austin Goolsbee, publicly staked out rate and balance sheet positions before Warsh had chaired a single meeting. Bookvar reads that as governors planting flags. The first FOMC meeting under Warsh is June 16th through 17th. Bookvar's framework for what Warsh can actually do is directly actionable. He cannot cut rates. The long end would react badly with PCE at 3.8%. He cannot hike prematurely given recession risk. His most likely tool is balance sheet reduction, targeting a move from above $6 trillion toward approximately $5 trillion. The supplementary leverage ratio, the SLR, has been eased, giving banks more capacity to absorb treasury inventory without the balance sheet penalty. For founders with bank partnerships or BaaS arrangements, that means your banking partner's credit appetite for higher quality fintech relationships is potentially expanding. On rate cuts, Bookvar disclosed a Kalshi prediction market position on zero Fed rate cuts in 2026, trading at approximately 64 cents at time of broadcast. Fed funds futures were pricing roughly 60% probability of a hike. If you're building variable rate products, model flat to higher short rates through year-end. A cut cycle is not the base case. One more timing signal worth noting. 42 Macro's Darius Dale flagged VIX seasonality. Historically, volatility tends to decline to intra-year lows in June through July before rebounding in August through September. If you're planning a late-stage raise or laying groundwork for a 2027 IPO, that window is closer than you think. The equity passive share in U.S. markets is now roughly 53-54% and gaining around 4 percentage points per year, approaching a modeled threshold where volatility onset accelerates. Price your timing accordingly. Quick win before you close today. Pull up your warehouse facility term sheet or your most recent investor deck and find every place you've written a rate assumption. If it says anything below 4%, update it. Run one scenario at 5% and see what it does to your unit economics. That single exercise will tell you whether your product works in the world we're actually in, not the world of 2020. That's your FinTech briefing for today. Thanks for spending this time with it. The macro environment is moving fast, and staying sharp on cost of capital fundamentals is genuinely the difference between a product that works and one that looks great until it doesn't. Come back tomorrow for more. Get after it. We'll talk tomorrow.